You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Time for Getting Grilled P3. It's the original protein. And the person getting grilled today is somebody who will be with us every Friday at this time. We're thrilled about this new feature. And he's on the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now. Dane Brugler from NFLDraftScout.com, CBSSports.com, one of the best draft analysts in the business, bar none. Dane, thanks for being with us. And we're looking forward to this this kind of regular feature here.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, I'm excited to, a lot to talk about with college football, with the NFL, the Browns. So, a lot of topics we can cover here.
All right, let's start with a couple guys on the Browns, and then we'll transition to what to look for over the weekend. But some of these young guys that now are going to play bigger roles, and we'll start at the quarterback position with Cody Kessler. I know you were not necessarily a huge fan of Kessler's coming out of USC, but what are his strengths, and then what are the things that do concern you?
Well, Cody was such a great fit for that USC pro-style scheme. His understanding of timing, tempo, it allowed him to have a high completion percentage, move the sticks, just a great fit for that offense. It reminded me of kind of the West Coast version of Aaron Murray, the former Georgia quarterback.
Yep.
There's so much to like about his football intelligence, his makeup. I think he does an excellent job taking what the defense gives him. But then, that's when it kind of gets a little murky for me, when defenses kind of throw some new things at him, put pressure on the pocket. He tends to panic a little bit. It needs to better anticipate what's going to happen to find that open window, that hot read. So just a highly productive college quarterback. But when you look at his transition to the NFL, obviously he doesn't have ideal physical traits, 6'1".
Sure.
His arm, I think, is best described as average. So I don't think he can consistently put the ball where he wants on a consistent basis down the field. So I'm eager to see how Hugh Jackson sets up the offense this week. I think we're going to see, Gary Barnage incorporated a lot. The running game obviously will be a big part. So, this is kind of Hugh's guy. So I'm eager to see how the offense is set up. And, no one expected him to start this early in his rookie year. But, I'm eager to see how the offense is set up to kind of incorporate his strength.
A guy who was not Hugh Jackson's guy was Carson Wentz. And so, Dane, just go into detail, and are you surprised by the early success that Carson has had against two not-so-good defenses in the Cleveland Browns and Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I think everyone's surprised by how quickly he's adjusted to the pro game, and I think we have to give the coaching staff in Philadelphia a lot of credit for that. With Doug Peterson and his staff has done, putting him in situations to succeed. So he knows where to go with the ball. With the Eagles, we're seeing a lot of empty backfields.
Yeah.
We're seeing them spread out that offense, giving Carson options, allowing him to, kind of read the defense pre-snap, make changes. He's on. He shows tremendous chemistry with his young receivers. And it really is surprising considering he missed a good portion of preseason and the training camp with an injury. And that also brings up the other point with Carson Wentz is he needs to learn how to not take those big hits because he's not going to last through this entire year. But, with Carson, you saw the traits on tape, but obviously making that jump from the FBS level to the NFL, how do you possibly predict how long it's going to take for him to make that transition? But he's doing it quicker than I think most of us thought he would.
Talking with Dane Brugler right now on the hotline, as we will every single Friday at 2 o'clock. Dane, we talked quarterbacks there quickly, a rookie with the Browns, one not with the Browns. Let's talk about the quarterbacks that could be rookies in the National Football League next year. It seems that DeShone Kizer has kind of separated himself from the pack at the top of draft boards. Is that true in your eyes? And who's a comp for him as you start to begin your evaluation of the Notre Dame quarterback?
Yeah, and we're so early. Let me preface it with that. It's September. There's a lot that's going to happen throughout the rest of the season. But just, early sample size, what we know right now, if the draft was tonight, I firmly believe Kizer would be that number one quarterback if he declared. He's only a redshirt sophomore, still very young. But, we saw it last year as a redshirt freshman. Came in off the bench and really showed off that skill set that he has. Coming into this year, he wasn't even named the starter. Brian Kelly kind of on the fence about who he wanted to start, but it was pretty clear and evident early on that Kizer was the guy that moved that Notre Dame offense, just more efficient. And Notre Dame's 1-2 this season, but quarterback play is not responsible for those two losses. And it's easy to see why scouts are just so optimistic about Kaiser's future. From a physical standpoint, he has what you want: size, athleticism, arm talent. That's pretty clear. He has an efficient delivery, excellent accuracy down the field. I think what really sets him apart, though, is what he brings to the field from a mental standpoint. The football intelligence, the field vision, the poise, the way he can process information quickly, go through his reads, operate from within the pocket. And he flashes a lot of the same on-field qualities that made Jameis Winston the number one overall pick 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so just very natural at the position, but also still very young. You know, we need to see him, you know, throw the ball quicker, holds the ball a little bit too long. He makes some throws that he shouldn't. So, you know, far from a finished product, but all the traits are there for Kaiser to be successful in the NFL.
Is Winston the guy that he reminds you the most of? Because that's when I watch him, that's kind of what he reminds me of.
Yeah, good and bad. You know, he has that kind of long stride with his base. He needs to tighten that up, some of the mechanics. But it just looks so natural for him out there. It looks easy. Like, the way he sees the field, the arm talent, his release, he's a better athlete than Jameis was. He's going to do more with his legs. And, you know, Kaiser's, he's just a redshirt sophomore. So to see his maturation at such a young age this quickly has been impressive. So, you know, if the draft were tonight and Kaiser did enter the draft, I firmly believe he'd be the top guy.
Dane, staying on the topic of quarterbacks, one that's near and dear to our heart, and there's been a lot of people, you know, kind of in controversy about JT Barrett and how he could potentially transition into the NFL. And then also another guy who was probably the lock of a lot of boards going into this college football season, kind of struggled and kind of just did pretty well last night with Deshaun Watson out of Clemson.
Yeah, I'll start with Watson. He really injected life into that Clemson offense the past few years. He really took the steps that you want to see from a passing standpoint. Last year, leading Clemson to the national title, they lost to Alabama, but I don't think we give him enough credit for what he did against Nick Saban's defense. Passed for over 400 yards, had four touchdowns through the air. It's been a little bit of a slow start for him, like you mentioned, this year in 2016, but I think he did show last night against Georgia Tech, a little bit back on track within that offense. We know what he can do with his legs, an outstanding athlete, but his continued development with his arm and his passing mechanics, the way he sees the field, that's really going to tell us where he'll be drafted. Flashes a lot of the same qualities that made RG3 a top pick in 2012. So Watson will be interesting to watch the rest of the year. And then, you know, JT Barrett with the Buckeyes, you know, it seems like he's been in college now for 6 years. He's still only a redshirt junior.
Yes.
So he still has another year of eligibility next year if he wants it. But I thought against Oklahoma, his full skill set was on display. Not the tallest guy, but he's built, and he runs like a bull. He can throw with anticipation, nice ball placement, giving his wide receivers a chance to catch the ball away from defenders. I think the biggest thing for me with Barrett is he needs to understand that that pocket has an expiration date. He misses the blitz at times, holds the ball too long. So I think that's all part of the progression. And look, that Urban Meyer offense, not really a graduate-level course for the NFL in terms of quarterback play. But nonetheless, JT Barrett's impressive. I'm not ready to say he's a starter at the next level, but I think he can, you know, be a solid backup. And we'll see how his progression continues to go for the Buckeyes this year.
Talking with Dane Brugler on the hotline right now, the best in the business when it comes to your draft analysis. He's a senior NFL draft analyst for NFL Draft Scout and CBSSports.com. Talk a little about the quarterbacks that are out there. The kid was with us earlier on the show today. He's with us every Friday, and he's a Michigan man. So he wanted me to ask you for your thoughts on Jabril Peppers and where you see him playing in the National Football League.
Well, you know, I tell you, the last time we had a defensive Heisman winner was 97 for the Wolverines, Charles Woodson.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and the big reason for that was because of what he did, you know, on offense and special teams. And Peppers is the same way. You know, yes, his primary position's on defense, but this past Saturday he had a couple carries, averaged 12 yards per touch. On special teams, he had a punt return for a touchdown, just an outstanding return man. With Peppers, you have to figure out where you're going to play him on defense because he's an elite athlete. He can do so many things that other guys can't. You know, he's roughly 6 foot, you know, 212, 215, not ideal linebacker size. But, you know, where do you play him? Is he a hybrid nickel safety linebacker? I mean, that's going to be the big question with Peppers. I do want to see him get better in coverage. When the play's in front of him, forget it. He's outstanding. His closing burst from A to B is terrific. He might lead the college football in tackles for loss this year. But where I want to see Peppers improve is when he has to go in reverse, when he has to turn his back towards the ball, his route recognition and coverage. So for Peppers, another redshirt sophomore, you know, we'll see. If he does end up entering the draft, I think we're talking about a top 10 pick.
And Dane, we talked about a lot about quarterbacks. I want to take it to the running backs. And there's, I think, three guys that pop to mind that have been, you know, very, very much in the Heisman chase. Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford, how does he transition in the NFL? And then Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook, where do you think those guys are going to pan out after this final season, from probably for all three of them at the college level?
And starting with Fournette, he's just a physical freak. When you're that size and have that athleticism, that strength, I mean, who do you compare him to in the NFL? There isn't a running back in the NFL right now that you can favorably compare him to. When you factor in, you know, body type, strength, athleticism, the closest comparison I can find is Thomas Davis, the linebacker for the Panthers. I mean, that's the type of player we're talking about here. So with Fournette, obviously he's off the charts, but I do need to see some more things. Because obviously playing the running back position, especially in the NFL, it takes a little bit more than just the physical traits. And that's something that I think Ezekiel Elliott's finding out in Dallas right now. You know, your patience at the line of scrimmage, your vision, your ability to read blocks, I think that's somewhere where Fournette needs to show some improvement. It's not going to be where he can just run past and over guys like he frequently does on Saturdays. So I like Fournette. I think he's a solid first-round pick. I'm just not sold on him being that top five, top 10, no-brainer type of running back prospect. Now, Dalvin Cook, you know, he reminds me a lot of actually Ezekiel Elliott with what he does. And he's actually a little bit more explosive than Zeke. He doesn't have the same type of build and the body armor, and that's the big question with Cook is, can he hold up at the NFL level? I mean, his playing weight's probably somewhere around 210, 215. You know, he has been banged up over his career, plenty of injuries, had shoulder surgery over the offseason. So with Dalvin Cook, the way he sets up his moves, his explosion in and out of his cuts, Dalvin Cook, to me, is the best pure running back in this class. The big question is, can he hold up with the type of punishment he'll take at the NFL level? And then Stanford's Christian McCaffrey, I believe this guy is in the conversation to be the best player in college football. I'm not sure. He might not win the Heisman. And the big reason is he was so good last year that he might not pass last year's production. He was the first Stanford running back to ever go over 2,000 yards rushing in a season, set the new all-purpose yards record in college football. Whether it's rushing, receiving, returning, he can do it all. Now, I don't think he's going to be a 25-carry back in the NFL, but he can be a 25-touch athlete weapon in any type of offense.
And who does he remind you of?
You know, he's tough because, honestly, if you know, when we played Madden and you wanted to create yourself on Madden and you put yourself at 99 speed, 99 agility, that's what Christian McCaffrey reminds me of. He's that type of athlete. He doesn't have, you know, maybe the build that you want a traditional running back, so he's not going to be a between-the-tackles punisher. But he can do a little bit of everything, like I said, returning, receiving. You line him up in the slot. He's an outstanding route runner for a running back, so a little bit of do-everything. I mean, people tell me that maybe he's not as good of an athlete. He's a phenomenal athlete. Christian McCaffrey's a first-round pick.
Talking with Dane Brugler here.
Wow.
All right, Dane, couple games. What are the games that you're going to be watching on that, you know, just for people, if they want to see the games that have the most pro prospects, who should they be watching this weekend?
Well, we've kind of been spoiled, you know, that terrific opening weekend in college football, and then last weekend, week three was great. This Saturday, it doesn't have as many big-time matchups, but plenty of guys worth watching. Florida and Tennessee, you know, this has been one of the classic college football matchups, but really, it hasn't been much of a rivalry in recent memory. Florida's won the last 11 meetings and by an average of 13 points. This year, probably the most talented Tennessee team in the last 10 years. So it's going to be a good battle. Florida's battling some injuries, going with a backup quarterback. I think for me, I'm looking on the defensive side of the ball. Tennessee defensive end Derek Barnett, one of the most well-rounded edge defenders in the country. Jalen Reeves-Maybin at linebacker, a tick undersized, but you know, you swear there are multiple number 21 jerseys out there. His range, his instincts, he's all over the field. And then for Florida, Tease Tabor, number 24, arguably the best corner in the country.
Yeah.
And then middle linebacker Jared Davis. I think he might be the key for the Gators if they're going to win this game. He'll need to be big time to shut down the Tennessee ground game. USC at Utah, good game tonight in Salt Lake City. Some good prospects for watching that one. For USC, Juju Smith-Schuster, when I watched him over the summer, reminded me a lot of the Jaguars receiver Allen Robinson. Not the most refined, but big, athletic, creative ball skills. No Kessler this year for the USC offense, and I think that's really hurt Smith-Schuster and his development, but they've made a change of quarterback, going with the true freshman, so we'll see if he can get the ball at number nine a little bit more. And then maybe the best matchup of the weekend in my eyes, Arkansas at Texas A&M Saturday night. It's probably the chance to see the best player in college football, Myles Garrett, defensive end for the Aggies. I think he's going to give left tackle Dan Skipper a lot of struggles on Saturday night. So Garrett, in my opinion, not only the best player in college football, the best prospect.
Dane, final one from us, and there's a guy that's starting to play a big role for the Browns now, especially following the injury to Carl Nassib, that I know a lot of people in the scouting community liked and that the Browns coach has certainly been raving about. That's Tyrone Holmes, small school guy out of Montana. What did you see in him, and do you think he's a guy that maybe has an opportunity to be successful rushing the passer?
Yeah, absolutely. You turn on the Montana tape, and this guy is just relentless off the edge. He had 18 sacks last year from Montana. He's a three-year starter for that defense. He was a traditional hand-in-the-ground left defensive end, played on both sides of the ball. He won the FCS Defensive Player of the Year. So this guy had all the accolades. And with his get-off speed, he has that arc speed, that bend to get around the edge, pressure the pocket. He has the power as well. So he's not just a speed guy. And I think his best quality when I watched him was his ability to adjust mid-rush. He has that balance. He has the counter moves. He can adjust what the blockers are trying to do to stop him. So I do think he needs some fine-tuning in a few areas of his technique. But I see a potential starter over time, a guy that is going to put consistent pressure on the pocket. Surprised that the Jags let him go like they did, but I think a terrific pickup for the Browns. Eager to see what he can do when he sees the field.
Yeah, so are we. Dane, this was a ton of fun. Thank you so much. We'll do it every single Friday. Dane Brugler, the NFL draft expert at CBSSports.com and NFL Draft Scout, breaking down what to watch this weekend and also getting you familiar with some guys on the Browns you might not have been familiar with. Dane, thanks so much, brother. We'll talk with you soon.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right, Dane Brugler, our guest there. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850 here on CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid will be back with us. We've got to get into the Friday forecast and make our picks. Plus, we want to hear from you. Call your shots. Can the Browns do it in Miami? Let us know.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Getting down on Friday of
every time you say it, you can make out what you're saying less and less every time.
It sounds
what is that, kid?
Sounds worse over the air than it even sounds in person.
What about when I go like this? What about this? Eagle week.
Let's retire that bit.
No, people like it. Twitter would say that you are an army of one against that bit. Fontana, wow. What do you think of?
I'm not a fan of it either. Thumbs down for me.
And that's just perfect.
Well, that exactly means that is says that exhibit A is
and that's
why
Nathan, this
needs
this
to
is
go
Nathan,
on.
And this is why, and that's why it's Nathan and I show.
That's
and
right.
Not,
that's
not
why
neither
I,
of
yeah,
yours.
That's right. That's right. That's why the Electoral College was put in place, folks.
For loony liberals like me.
Yeah, you got some backup, though. Some people
what
on,
was that guy's name
on,
again?
On, yeah, what was the name of the guy who called you a loony liberal, Ken?
You know, I don't have it in front of me anymore.
Oh, okay. Oh. Clint something. I don't remember the second.
Yeah,
Clint.
I don't remember.
Anyway. It was a word for a bull.
Did it end with an S?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
All right, kid. Let's get into the Friday.
Dave Brugler, by the way, fantastic.
Killing it. Crushing it. And for the people who are getting mad that we were talking about Tyrone Holmes, Dane Brugler is the guy to tell you why you should get excited about Tyrone Holmes. And obviously, a lot to talk about in college football.
Was Tyrone Holmes in a uniform last week?
Yeah, and he had three pressures.
Did he play?
Three pressures in 10 seconds.
Okay, then you should love saying. Tyrone Holmes.
Let's go. It's right. And he's still healthy. So that's winning right now. All right. Let's go into the Friday forecast. We'll bring in our producer right now, Matt Fontana. Matt.
Number one.
All right, guys, fill in the blank. The Browns, to win on Sunday, they will have to do blank.
They're going to have to win the turnover battle, and not only win the turnover battle, they have to be short field. It's got to play out like it played out for New England last week. You can't expect Kessler to drive the length of the field. We need to be plus two, and they need to be in the plus territory when we get them.
I'm going to say a combination of multiple players. I was going to say just Crow and Duke. I think we've got to rush for 150 yards or more on the ground. And that coincides with shortening the football game, taking the football out of Cody Kessler's hands, and relying on a good front, blocking another very physical front, and allowing our playmakers to make the plays, but doing it on the ground.
All right. Get ready, because I've got a long list of things that are going to have to happen for the Browns to win. They must get, as you called in your hot take, the special teams turnover deep in Miami territory, and they must win the turnover battle by not just one, but by two. They must sack Ryan Tannehill a minimum of four times. They must give up less than 20 points in this game. Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson must produce a combined 200 total yards. Cody Kessler must not turn the football over, and the Browns must convert at least 40% of their third downs while holding the Dolphins to less than 33% of their third downs. The Browns may not give up any chunk plays of more than 50 yards in this game. And if they do all of that, they will win.
Number two.
All right, guys, the game outside.
It's a long list, but it was distinguished.
It was a distinguished list. It was. It was very interesting. The game outside of the Browns-Dolphins that you'll be most interested to watch on Sunday is blank.
I believe it's the Giants and the Redskins.
Yes.
I just think the Redskins really have their back against the wall, and this is, in my opinion, the end of the Kirk Cousins era. And I've been high on the Giants all year, as I think the other guys have. I'm looking for the Giants to put the hurt into Washington, but that's the game I'm most curious about.
Yeah, that was the game that I was going to name, and, kid, you named a lot of great reasons. I'm just going to watch Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr. For no other reason.
I missed the lead.
Yeah, you missed the lead. But to pick another game, I'm actually going to go with Steelers-Eagles. And I want to see because the Eagles' defense has played very well, and I want to see if the Steelers can continue to roll offensively. And then I think if you are a Browns fan follower at all, you always want to stay in tune to what Carson Wentz is doing, and I think he's going to get his largest challenge of the season against that Steeler defense.
So I think obviously the Norman Beckham thing, that's the number one thing to watch this weekend. But the other game I'm going to pay attention to is Minnesota and Carolina. The Panthers, that's a pretty good game, 2-0. And I think that's a should be a game that's played with a little bit of physicality in it.
That's a 16-13 guy.
Carolina's a 7-point favorite in that game, which is something we'll discuss when we pick the games. But, you know, how much of an impact does the loss of Adrian Peters have? I don't think much. I think these are two good defenses. The Panthers kind of let the Niners hang around, and they lost, as we know, in week one to Denver. And we've seen impressive stuff from Minnesota so far. What will happen in this one? That's what I'm looking forward to on Sunday.
Number three.
All right, guys, final one for this Friday forecast. Give me the one 0-2 team that has the best chance to make the playoffs. Would you guys like a list of the only two
I'll
teams?
I'll go first, and I think this was actually on Mike and Mike this morning, and it's I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts, and the reason why everyone thought it was the Colts, Texans, and really no one else in that division. The Jaguars are 0-2. The Titans are 1-1, but that's fluky at best with Mariota and DeMarco Murray. I think Andrew Luck allows you the opportunity to win football games. And the Houston Texans last night with Osweiler and that defense, J.J. Watt, they kept talking about J.J. Watt's name not being called over and over again because it was so out of the norm for J.J. Watt.
The list of 0-2 teams on top of that, Miami, Buffalo, the Browns, we mentioned the Colts, Jacksonville, Washington, Chicago, and New Orleans.
I hate to just parrot Matt, but I think it's a no-brainer. Indianapolis, Andrew Luck is coming back to form, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and that alone will win that division.
So when I look at the list, and I think it's actually a fairly fun exercise to do, I think it's pretty easy to eliminate a lot of these teams. Let's start in the AFC. The Buffalo Bills, no thank you, not a chance. They are done. Stick a fork in them, they're done. I don't think the Miami Dolphins have any chance. First of all, no, Patriots and everybody else there. The Browns, okay. Colts, Jaguars. Jags are pretenders. The Colts are the team in the AFC that has a chance. Look at the NFC teams. The Redskins, I suppose, could, but that's a big division loss for them right there to the Dallas Cowboys. And I was never a Kirk Cousins believer in the first place. But they have an outside shot. The Bears, absolutely not. And then there's the New Orleans Saints. They have a chance to come in as the wild card just because I don't think the NFC is really all that good, to be perfectly honest with you. And they're 0-2, but they have a chance to turn around. It'll be a big game for them this Monday night against the Falcons.
And Fontana, why don't you hit us with that that breaking news on Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, guys, this just came out. Jacoby Brissett has a torn ligament in his right thumb. That is his throwing hand. He's going to need most likely surgery for stabilization. He suffered the injury last night in the second half, so he is probably not going to play this weekend, which means they had better get Jimmy Garoppolo back, or they're going to have to find another quarterback.
That's it. They need to start Jimmy Garoppolo, or they're going to have to sign somebody off the street and start him. Now, the good news
for
them
is... Sorry, we took Charlie Whitehurst. That's the bad news for them. What's the good news, Nathan?
That they have... It's a longer week to prepare since they played on a Thursday night game. They have a little bit more time to get somebody in and get them up to speed. But they brought in T.J. Yates for a workout last week. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the direction that they end up going.
I got a name for you that might come out of nowhere.
Jeff George, say it.
Tim Tebow. Played in the system before.
No way. He's
always
a Met.
Always looking for some free publicity. Don't you think he could run the same offense that Brissett ran last night?
He's basking in that glow right now in a Mets uniform.
He can't believe, baseball cleats. Even Tim Tebow can't believe what you just said.
Well, strictly from the money side of things, like a one-year contract about how much money he's going to give up in baseball.
Yeah. Could be Julian Edelman, by the way. That's
no, thank you.
Golden Julian. Flashes, baby.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. What else you got for us, Fontana?
That's it. That is it. I could make one up if you'd like.
No. All right. Right now, your life depends on it. You get to choose the tandem of Belichick and Joe Montana or Tom Brady and Jimmy Johnson.
Belichick and Joe Montana. I think I'm going to pick Jimmy Johnson.
Of course
Brady
you are.
Because Jimmy Johnson is literally probably my second favorite coach of all time, if not tied with Belichick. And, I respect Joe Montana, but I was never, Joe Montana was never my guy.
You clearly don't respect Joe Montana. You have Joe Montana with Bill Belichick, and you are picking that against them.
Jimmy Johnson, you remember, let me give you a little flashback. I was back I was in college and was just getting used to the window. And I rode Jimmy Johnson in the playoffs that year. And before the San Francisco game, he came out the day before the game on the radio, and they said, well, what do you think is going to happen? They're figuring he's
guaranteed victory. I remember this very well.
He's going
to give me a history lesson. I was in the Bay Area at the time.
When you heard that, you had to know your team lost.
Well, I've heard outlandish guarantees before, but yes, I thought that there was a certain bravado there.
I mean, when he did that, San Francisco is a championship team already.
I know. To me, the fact that you are you're taking, I mean, the combination of Belichick and Montana is unbeatable.
I mean, you're talking about Jimmy Johnson and Tom Brady.
I know, but I just feel like if you pulled, if you pulled a billion people.
Listen, I don't need to. My opinions don't need to be validated by agreeing with the populace.
We know this to be very true. That's interesting. Well, who would you take, Wilhelm?
Say it again. Belichick and who?
Belichick and Joe Montana.
Okay, and
Jimmy Johnson and Tom Brady. Those are like the two cornerstones to your franchise.
Belichick and Joe Montana.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
I know.
And it's nothing against Jimmy Johnson or Tom Brady.
No.
Well, it's just the same way.
It's the combination. It's just the combination of the both.
Fontana, where are you going there?
See, I would have to go Belichick.
Montana's going where he usually goes.
Yeah, I'd have to probably go with Belichick and Montana because, like, I think Tom Brady's a great player, but at the same time, the culture that Bill Belichick has installed, I think
you don't think it's a culture. But wait a minute, you don't think there's a culture in San Francisco? Let's also pull up some of the rosters, the different players that Joe Montana played with versus the players that Tom Brady.
Well, Tom Brady's made a lot of great players out of nothing, too. I mean, Julian Edelman, we just talked about Julian Edelman. He wouldn't be anything without Tom Brady. I would say this, though, and this is no offense to Tom Brady. He's a great player, but I think he just happened to be the right guy in the right situation for Bill Belichick. He's Tom Brady.
Okay.
I think he's Tom Brady because of Bill Belichick. I don't think Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick because of Tom Brady.
Okay, then how many playoff wins did Bill Belichick have besides with Tom Brady?
I mean, you mean other than Tom Brady? Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I like them both. I think that they're both great, but I mean, there's arguments you can make that they make each other.
If Tom Brady didn't go to Michigan, would you still be a fan?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan of everybody that, you know, Michigan guys aren't the only guys I root for.
He has a soft spot for the U, no question. In its heyday. By the way, Adrian Peterson placed on injured reserve for the Minnesota Vikings. Apparently some people in the organization were peeved that he got surgery. So he is on injured reserve right there. Okay, when we come back, we will pick the games. The kid clinging to a one-game lead over me, up 4 on Matt Wilhelm. And we'll be back with the Eagle Week edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. Also, Dolphins Week for the Browns here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, wrapping it up here on CBD, Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid. And gentlemen, it is time to pick the games. Are you ready?
We're ready.
The kid, you, by the way, leading right now. One game lead on myself. Last week, you and I both got... Let's see. I believe 10 of them correct.
That's not very good.
10 and 6?
What's that?
I said 10 and 6, not very good.
No, no spread. Bad.
There were some serious upsets, though.
I know. Man, criticizing myself as well.
Okay. All right. Here we go. As we go on to week number 3. Are you guys ready? Kid goes first. I go second. All right, Wilhelm, you get to go last. As part of the way that the game is structured for comebacks. Denver at Cincinnati. Bengals 3-point favorites at home.
Denver at Cincinnati. I'm going to say Cincinnati.
Wilhelm? Oh, I'm up next. I'm going to take the Denver Broncos.
I'll take the Denver Broncos as well.
I think that was a bad pick by me. I was just trying to be different. Minnesota at Carolina. Carolina 7-point favorite.
Carolina
for me.
Carolina.
I think that is a blowout. Blowout. Oakland at Tennessee. The Titans, 1-point favorites. Basically a pick 'em.
I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans. I will.
Is it Raiders Titans?
Yes, Raiders Titans.
I'll take the Raiders. They get off their...
I'm going to take the Raiders, too. They get things going here. 1-1. They've won on the road. I think they find a way to get it done here against the Tennessee Titans. Why do you like the Titans in that game?
I don't know. It's sort of like your first game. I, you know, sort of choked, and that's what I picked. So.
Washington at the Giants. Giants 3.5-point favorites at home. Does Washington go to 0-3?
I believe they do, folks.
I do as well. I know when I'm on a turn, but
jump on.
I'm not a Cousins fan.
I'm going to take the Giants as well. I think they're for real. They were my pick to win that division all along. I'm not backing away from it right now. Arizona at Buffalo. Arizona, only a 3.5-point favorite on the road.
You know what? I'm done with them. I should have been done with them last week. I'm going with Arizona.
I'm taking Arizona,
Arizona.
Too. Detroit at the Green Bay Packers. Packers, a 7-point favorite.
Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree with that one as well. So it's a unanimouser. Baltimore at Jacksonville. The Ravens, 1-point favorites on the road.
I'm not buying it. I watched that team. They had two bad teams. They had to come from behind to beat us. And while I'm not on the Jacksonville, it's better than they showed so far. Jacksonville.
You're taking Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I am too. I'm not impressed with that Ravens team.
I'll take the Ravens, try to get a game back. I was going to go Jags, but I'll take the Ravens just because you guys both went.
Okay, good. Good move. That's what you got to do sometimes, try to climb back into this thing, Matt Wilhelm. San Francisco at Seattle. Seahawks, 9.5-point favorites.
Seahawks.
No love for remember, there was a shutout in week one from 49ers defense.
From James O'Neal. That guy came back to Earth last week, showed his high school skill.
Let's go. L.A., at Tampa, Rams just beat the Seahawks.
Tampa.
Buccaneers, 5-point favorites. I think Tampa wins again. I don't think that one's close either.
I'll take the Rams.
He disagrees. All right. The Jets at Kansas City. Kansas City, 3-point favorites. Is Kansas City good? They just got blasted last week by Houston. They got blasted for the majority of the game in week one by the Chargers.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a dangerous thing. I think a lot of people are going to look at Houston getting blown out last night and say the associative property, Kansas City, is going to lose. Therefore, I take Kansas City to win.
And the Jets are coming off of a big win where their offense looked basically unstoppable.
And a rest. I'm taking the Jets.
And I'm going to take Kansas City as well. Interesting. I think that's a little bit of an interesting line there in that game. San Diego at the Colts. Colts only 2.5-point favorites against the San Diego Superchargers. A team that's without Keenan Allen will also be without Antonio Gates.
Where's the game at?
Indiana. 0-2 Indiana.
They're only a 2. Well, I just picked them to go to the playoffs, so I got to pick them this week. Indiana.
San Diego also no Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. San Diego probably wins, but I'm going to take it.
An interesting line. I'll take the Superchargers, though.
Give me the Superchargers as well.
Pittsburgh at Philly. Pittsburgh 3.5 road favorites over the Eagles and undefeated Carson Wentz.
You know what? I'm going to keep picking against him until he loses, so I'm going to say Pittsburgh.
I'm taking the Steelers as well.
Steelers.
Chicago at Dallas. Sunday night football. That's what everybody wants to
Dallas.
See. Brian Hoyer against Dak Prescott in primetime, and that's what they're going to get. Dallas unanimous. And then Monday night, Atlanta at the Saints. Saints only 3-point favorites. Remember when they used to be unbeatable there? Like, literally unbeatable? Wasn't it the Cowboys that beat them on a Monday night that ended that long streak they had there?
I'm not sure, but they're not that anymore, and I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons.
I'll take the New Orleans Saints.
I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints as well. I don't think Atlanta's very good, although they did go on the road and put a shellacking on the Raiders, and they lost at home to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who got whooped in week two. It's a crazy league.
Yeah, Tampa, you got to throw away that getting whooped. Tampa's a good football team. You'll see.
I picked Tampa this week. All right, final game of the week. It's the Browns and the Dolphins. It is the largest spread in the National Football League this week, currently at 10.5.
I'm going to have to say the Miami Dolphins are going to win this one probably 23-10.
I'm taking the Browns, and I'm going to take them every single week, big boy. Woo! I don't care if it's Eagle week. It's Browns week every week.
Let's go.
All right, the kid. That's picking the games. You have a hot take that you want to leave us all with?
I do, because I heard I was getting blasted on
Did
Twitter.
Did you know this was
fine.
Coming?
That's fine.
Teeing him up for a hot take.
No.
He has one.
Of course he had. Of course he had one. All of his takes are hot, like flamethrowers.
Who authored the greatest trade in NFL history? The Herschel Walker trade? And then I'd like for you to take a look at the rosters and the schlemiels that Tom Brady had at wide receiver and running back on his Super Bowl championship teams, and then come back.
Randy Moss. Let me ask you a question. Which coach do you think has on the whole, which coach would you say has had a better roster to operate with? Would that be Jimmy Johnson or would that be Bill Belichick?
Well, they both made their own roster, so that's part of what makes them great. I mean, that's probably the main thing that makes Jimmy Johnson great, the way he rebuilt Dallas's roster. They were 1-15 his first year. He rebuilt that from nothing.
There is no surprise that you two guys are friends, because you guys will literally take your hard take and you will fight that hard take until the cows come home.
Well, it's easy in this case when you're on the right side of it, like I am with Montana and Belichick. It's just easy to stick with it. I mean, he's voting for them because he was learning about the window when Jimmy Johnson was his best friend.
No. Here's the one thing I will give you.
You have 10 seconds.
Bill Belichick has had an overall better career. Those 5 years, Jimmy Johnson was tremendous.
So he likes people that flame out early and end up doing questionable advertisements on television. I'll prefer Bill Belichick. Thank you very little. Go Browns this weekend. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. The Cody Kessler era begins Sunday in Miami for Matt Fontana and Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying go Demons, Eagle Week, and go Browns.
On ESPN 50 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.